We're holding the bottom page Nun Beis in Sukkah, or Ischof Beis. We learned yesterday about the importance of Hatznei Leches when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim and Knossos Kala and so forth. So now the Gemara continues in that vein, talking about the Mila of Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gadol Ha'osek Tzedakah Yosin Mikol HaKorbanos. A person who does Tzedakah, who gives tzedakah, is greater than bringing all the korbanos. Shenemar, if we find a pasuk, asoy tzedakah or mishpat, to do tzedakah and mishpat nivchar l'Hashem mizevach is more chosen by Hashem than zevach. Rashi points out the word zevach is a generic word meaning korbanos. So therefore, so we can see that it means that he's greater than all korbanos because the word zevach in general includes all of them. Now, Marshall points out, don't you have then in that case the pasuk is saying tzedakah or mishpat? So where is Rabbi Elazar getting tzedakah alone? So Marshall says, because since the pasuk says nivchor in Lashon Yochid, now the first half of the pasuk, asoy, it's not oyset tzedakah or mishpat, which then you could say nivchor would be referring to that person, it's asoy tzedakah or mishpat, to do the doing of tzedakah and mishpat. And if it was referring to both of them, then it would say Nivchalu, they are more chosen by Hashem than Korbanos, than Zevach. Since instead it says Nivchar, that implies that there's only one thing, and it itself is that only one thing by itself, Tzedakah alone, is Nivchal Hashem Mizevach. One reason behind that, why indeed tzedakah is greater than gemilas chasad, that why tzedakah is greater than korbanos, the chidah points out, because korbanos, in general, when a person has to bring a korban, it's usually because they did some kind of aveira, and it usually only helps for shogeg, whereas tzedakah helps for mezid as well, and even for things for which korbanos are not brought, so in that sense, it has a greater capability of doing kapara, and in that sense, it's greater. And Rabbi Elazar, continues, G'doyla Gmilas Chasadim Yosim and Tzedakah. Gmilas Chasadim is even greater than Tzedakah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ziru Lachem Tzedakah, Kitzru Lafi Chasid. Plant for yourselves according to Tzedakah and harvest according to the Chesed. So you have to consider, says Rabbi Elazar, even Adam Zeudeya, when a person plants, Sofik Oichel, Sofik Ena Oichel, you never know, is he going to eat from the results or not? What if it doesn't grow? What if there's a drought? What if there's hail, etc.? But when he's harvesting, he can be sure he's going to be able to eat it. So therefore, in other words, the nimshal being that tzedakah is not always a guaranteed thing that a person is going to get the schar that he would expect from it. In particular, now how would that be on the face of it? I mean, Hashem doesn't hold back the schar of the mitzvah that he does. Marshall points out, for example, you could have the Gemara mentions in Sota Avera Machaba Mitzvah, that a person has done a mitzvah, but then on the other hand he's done an Avera, that can extinguish the schus of that mitzvah. So in that sense, in other words, his tzedakah might be counteracted by some Avera that he did, and therefore he doesn't end up with anything. Whereas Milas Hasadim, being the pay, being a greater thing, and it actually, as we're going to go on to say, it has more practical, immediate results for the person it's done to, then therefore that's not going to be extinguished by an Aveda, and therefore he's more certain of getting the sky for it. That's one way of looking at it. Ion Yaakov points out another thing is when it comes to tzedakah, you never know. You can have people collecting tzedakah who are fakers and they're really rich and they're only pretending to be poor to collect tzedakah. Gemilas Chasadim, as the next piece is going to say, is both for Aniyim and for Ashirim. Therefore, you have more of a certainty that it's going to the right party, because even if the person has an usher, so what? He needs Gemilas Chasadim as well, and therefore there's less of a chance that it's going to go, that it's going to go astray. And the Rith brings a long thing over here, where the gist of it is that usually we say one of the highest levels of tzedakah, as we know, is when a person gives in such a way where he doesn't know who he's giving to, and the poor person doesn't know who he's receiving from. When the Rambam lists the 8 levels of tzedakah, the highest is to lend a person money and help him get on his feet financially, but then that one where neither one knows who the other one was, the Rambam lists as the second mile. Gemilas Chasadim, you don't really have that, because after all, Gemilas Chasadim, almost by definition, you have to know who you're helping, and the other person is going to have to know who you are. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar is saying it has the advantage It has, nevertheless, Gemilas Chasadim has the advantage because, again, you have, when it comes to giving money, for example, again, what if the poor person himself, you give him money for tzedakah, he may not end up enjoying it. He may end up wasting it on things or whatever, whereas when you do Gemilas Chasadim, then you have much more of a certainty that it actually goes where it belongs. And the Amar of Elazar, Einat Tzedakah Mishtalemes, Elo Lafi Gemilas Chasadim Shabbat. The Schar for Tzedakah itself is only according to the Gemilas Chasadim in it. So Rashi explains, in other words, again, for example, a person is giving Tzedakah, but you have Gemilas Chasadim in the Chesed in it, the giving itself is the Tzedakah, the Chesed in it is the effort that he puts into it. For example, Rashi says, bring the food to the guy's house, or let's say, for example, you went to the trouble of making the food and giving him ready-baked bread, as we have, for example, a famous story with Ma'ukva and his wife, where Ma'ukva's feet were getting burnt in the oven and hers weren't, because she gives them actual ready-made food, which means she, so not only, first of all, as the Gemara points out over there, as she points out to Ma'ukva, what she does has a more immediate benefit to the poor person. He doesn't have to go to the store to buy food. He has it ready-made, but there's also the fact that she herself put in all that that itself counts as the chesed. There is, in fact, an interesting explanation in that says, because, after all, so she was baking bread and giving to the aniyim, which means she's slaving away every day in front of a hot oven. The schus of that is that she was saved inside the oven. Anyway, the point is, so here we're saying the same kind of thing, that it depends on the chesed that the person put into it, the effort that he puts into it. And that way also, Rashi gives another example as well. You could have, for example, let's say even when it comes to giving tzedakah of money, sometimes there can be a greater chesed in it than others. You give a person the same amount of money when grain is more plentiful, then that money will go a lot further than if you give it to him when there's shortages and prices are high. The same dollar will buy a lot more in the first case than in the second. So all of those things are included in what we're saying, that tzedakah is paid according to the chesed. Shenema, the same pasuk, zero lacham l'tzedakah, kitzur l'fi chesed, plant for yourselves according to tzedakah, harvest according to chesed. So we see, in other words, not only are we saying that chesed is greater than, that gemilas chasadim is greater than tzedakah, but even within tzedakah itself, the greatest part is the chesed that goes into that tzedakah. Yeah.
If you give it a 11 brachas,
that's also included, yes. So here Rashi is not mentioning that point. Here Rashi is pointing out the effort that you put into it, or the thought that you put into making sure that it'll go as far as possible for the ani. But yes, there is also, of course, the point of giving it with a smile and giving it with good words and all of that. Yeah, that's a separate thing, which the Gemara is not even getting into over here, but yeah. Continues the Gemara. Turn on Abban and Beshloisha Devarim Gdoyla Gmilas Chasadim Yosem and Tzedakah. There are three ways in which Gmilas Chasadim is greater than regular Tzedakah. And Marsha says, here we're going to talk about three practical things, three things in Maisa. Now, Gmilas Chasadim, we say every day in morning brachas that whereas Tzedakah is not in that category, but we're not mentioning that because we're talking about the practical things in which Gmilas Chasadim is greater than Tzedakah. First of all, tzedakah only involves a person's money. Gemilas chasadim ben b'mamoyne ben b'gufa. Gemilas chasadim involves the person's mamon, but it also involves his guf. Rashi gives examples. For example, going in and joining in a levaya or helping to carry the mess, or mesameach chasin v'kala, or lending a person money. All of those, it's not just your money. You're putting your own guf into it as well. Second of all, tzedakah la'aniyim, gemilas chasadim ben la'aniyim ben la'ashirim. And tzedakah is only for poor people. Gemilas chasadim, rich people need gemilas chasadim as well. And the third one is tzedakah l'chayim, gemilas chasadim, ben l'chayim, ben l'mesim. Tzedakah, you can only give to the living. Gemilas chasadim, you can do for the living and for the mesim as well. For example, helping out with the levaya or things like that. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Elazar, kol ha'oseh tzedakah u'mishpat, kilu milo la'olam kolei chesed. If a person does tzedakah and mishpat, so here, before we were talking about tzedakah or mishpat at the top of the Amud, when we had the expression nivchar, where Marsha pointed out that the nivchar is lashon yachid, here we are talking about both of them, and tzedakah or mishpat means, first of all, it also, the mishpat in this sense also includes also includes Gmilus Chasadim, because again, like Rashi had said, part of Gmilus Chasadim is judging what's the most effective way to give that tzedakah, where it'll do the most good for the poor person, that is included in Mishpat. So now, Rabbi Elazar is saying, when a person does that, ke'ilum milay la'olam kulay chesed, it's as if he filled up the entire world with chesed, chenema, oyhev tzedakah o mishpat, chesed Hashem mala ha'aretz. The one who loves tzedakah and justice, the chesed of Hashem fills up the whole world. In other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk would be that it's all referring to Hashem. But here we're understanding that the first half of the pasuk is referring to the person. He loves tzedakah and mishpat, and the result is that he brings about that chesed Hashem malah. You're going to think then that means anyone who wants to jump into that and do tzedakah v'chesed is going to be able to do that, and Hashem will make sure, Rashi explains, that the people that he wants to give to are in fact going to be erlicha people who deserve and need the tzedakah. You might think so. Tamad Lima, no, you have another pasuk. My yoker chastachay l'kim. How precious, and the word yoker also means rare sometimes. You have, for example, in Sefer Shmuel, you have a Dvar Hashem yoker v'yam mehem, that the word of Hashem, and when Shmuel was before Shmuel got his first Nebuah was very rare. So the word yoker sometimes means rare. So my yoker chastachay l'kim, how precious and how rare is your chesed l'kim? In other words, because yeah, you might have a lot of times, there are a lot of fakers out there. There are a lot of people who maybe if they're not outright fakers, they at least don't really need as much the chesed that you have to offer and whatever. So therefore, so a person shouldn't think that he can just start and automatically Hashem is going to give him the right people to go to. Then he continues, Yochel after the Yorei Shamayim came, then you would think the same thing is true, even if the person is a Yorei Shamayim, that also Hashem is not necessarily going to give him the right recipients. Note, Talmud Lomer, you have another pasuk, the chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireyav, of today's tilim, actually, that the chesed of Hashem is from forever and ever on those who fear him. So therefore, so those who fear him, Hashem automatically makes it that their chesed, that for them, the right kind of chesed is much easier to achieve as a reward for their Yiras Shamayim. That's all according to Rashi. Marsha gives a whole different explanation of this. You have the famous Braisa at the end of Masechta Sota and in Masechta Avodah Zarah with variations. The Milus over there, Zriz, Zahirus Mevila de Zrizus, Zrius and Zrizus Mevila de Nikios. The whole Sefer Mesilas Yesharim is based on that. But you have it in a couple of places in Shas and in other places in the writings of Chazal with variations. So among the higher level, one of the higher levels is you have Yira, that Yiras Shemayim brings to Chassidus, and then that brings in turn a person to Ruach HaKodesh. So now, Marsha is saying, the Gemara is talking in that vein. A person does Tzedakah or Mishpat, he will be able to reach with that Midas Chassidus, and with that he brings Chesed into the world. So you would think maybe Kol HaBol Lichvutz Koifetz, maybe even a person doesn't need to go step by step. Maybe a person can jump over all the levels and manage to come to Chassidus without going through the lower levels. No, we're saying my Yoker Chastacha. It's very, very hard and precious and difficult to reach that. Then you would think, after Yoreh Shemayim came, maybe a person who's already reached Yiras Shemayim is going to have a hard time reaching the next level of Chassidus. No, because it's next level. So therefore, once he's achieved, once he's gone through the first few steps and reached Yiras Shemayim, then already it's much easier for him to achieve Chassidus. So that's another meaning of what the Gemara means with all of this. The Rif has yet another explanation on it. Among other things, he said it's very difficult to understand Rashi's explanation. I mean, why should Hashem cause it that he wants to do tzedakah v'chesed? Why shouldn't Hashem provide for him people that make sure that goes to the right recipients? Why should it be so difficult and mayoker chastacha as though like Hashem is trying to trip him up and have him give to people who are not so worthy? Now, before we talk about the Rif's answer, it is worth mentioning in that connection. I think we may have mentioned it before in this shiur. There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma where Yirmiyah says about the people of his time. There were certain people in his times, including people from his own hometown of Anosos, who hated him for the nevuas that he was saying, the critical nevuas that he's saying, and they were threatening to poison him or to master on him and to bring up false accusations against him and get him executed and based in whatever. And at one point, Yirmiyah davens about them. He says, "V'yiyu mochsholim lefanecha ve'is apcha. May they be caused to stumble in front of you." In the time of your anger." And the Gemara explains that means that Yumi is asking that even when they want to do tzedakah v'chesed, make sure that the people they give to you end up being unworthy ones so they don't get a schar from that.
there is a chassidish revert. So that first of all, then what Rashi may mean is that, in other words, that you have a person who's like that, where he shouldn't deserve taka, that Hashem should give him the right recipient. So we're saying it's taka not so easy. A person has to make sure that he's on a level for that. But there is actually a chassidish revert within that, where some rebbe, I don't remember who, said on that, as much as these guys were harassing Yumiya and making his life miserable, is that a thing to say about a fellow Yid? He says, Fakir, what Yumiya is asking for is they should end up giving to people who don't deserve it, and in return for that, midah k'neged midah, the Eidosh should give them even though they don't deserve. So that can be the same kind of thing over here, that the person, Hashem, may in fact make it that he himself, taka, doesn't deserve tzedakah v'chesed from Hashem. Therefore, Hashem will give him the people who themselves don't deserve it, and he gives to them anyway without making such bonus. Yeah, but this guy doesn't deserve it. Maybe I shouldn't. And that itself forces Hashem to reciprocate to him. So the Rif talks about over here that what we're dealing with is that rather you have, when we say over here, what we mean is a person who himself thinks, I don't need to do tzedakah v'chesed. The others already did it for me. Can't I just rely on that? No, we're saying that won't work. But if he himself is willing to work on achieving Yiras Shemayim, and then therefore that includes also that he's doing chesed, then b'chesed Hashem ma'olam ba'odah ba'odah ma'oreyav, then he has the right to also benefit from the schosim of the others and the tzedakah and chesed that they did. Okay. The Gemara continues, another drosha on the same pasuk. Omer of Chama Bapapa, kol Adam sheyesh olav chayn, a person who has chayn on him, a person who has a certain grace, and people, and he's likable in people's eyes, b'yaduashu yoreshamayim. And you know that he's a yoreshamayim, same thing. Shenever b'chesed Hashem ma'olam ba'adoyim al yireyav, b'chesed of Hashem, which chayn and chesed are almost synonyms. In fact, Yad Yosef brings over here that the Shalach Kodesh Taka has the Girse and the Gemara over here, chesed, to the chesed is al yireyav. So therefore, if you see that this person has a certain chen v'chesed in people's eyes, then you know that he's a yorishamayim. I'll derech like the expression that you have in Pirkei Avos, the kosher ruach habrias nechemenu, when you have a person that people are pleased with him and people appreciate him, then you know that Hashem also appreciates and is pleased with him. Va'amar Rav Elazar, then Rav Elazar also says, my dichtiv, Pia Pascha b'Chachma, we have the pasuk in Eishes Chayil. She opens her mouth with Chachma, the Soras Chesed al Lashona, and the Torah of Chesed is on her mouth. So speaking of Chesed, the question is, v'chiyash Torah shol Chesed, v'yash Torah she'ena shol Chesed. What do you mean the Torah of Chesed? What other kind of Torah is there? Ella Torah l'shma zui Torah shol Chesed. Torah shaloi l'shma zui Torah she'ena shol Chesed. It depends whether he's learning l'shma or shaloi l'shma. So if he's learning Torah l'shma, then that's called the Torah of Chesed, because then that brings Hashem's Chesed into the world. When he learns Torah shaloi l'shma, he's not bringing down Ora l'ki into the world. So therefore, that's a Torah that's not of Chesed. Marsha points out a different Gemara that mentions over here that also the Torah can be called Torah's Chesed, because we just said Chen and Chesed are almost synonyms, and the Torah, when a person learns Torah for the right reasons, then they send a Chen Melendea, it makes that the person appears graceful and beautiful in the eyes of people. In which there's a vort on that, by the way, that says there's an expression elsewhere in the Gemara that says when a person learns Torah by night, a person is Osek in Torah by night, Chut Shol Chesed Moshech Olav Bayom, there's a vort on that. I think Marsha actually says that the vort is usually if a person stays up a good part of the night, then he's tired and irritable and whatever the next day, and he's not the type of person who's likely to have Chen B'Chesed in people's eyes, but when he does it for the sake of learning Torah, then the Eved should make sure that he does have that Chen B'Chesed. So then that would fit with this also. He's learning Torah L'Shma, and therefore, that gives him that chain, and therefore it can be called Torah's Chesin. Ikadami, others say, Torah Lalanda, when he's learning Torah in order to teach it, Zuhi Torah Shol Chesin. That's a Torah of Chesin, because he's not just keeping it for himself, he's teaching it for other people, he's teaching it to other people as well, he's giving over that Chesin to other people. Shaloi Lalanda, if he's learning Torah not for the sake of teaching it, Zuri Torah She'ena Shol Chesed, it's a very nice Torah, but it's not a Torah of, it's not a Torah of Chesed. Therefore, Marsha says that's the expression, Al Lashoina, that he uses his tongue to speak it out and to express it and give it over to other people. So, So one point is that the Eitz Yosef brings over here, when a person is learning Shaloi Lalamed, then it's not really out of Abba for Hashem. After all, we know the mitzvah v'ahavta es Hashem lekecha also includes not only that you should love Hashem, but shehi shem shemayim es ahev al yadcha, that you should cause other people to love Hashem. So that would be the real Torah of Chesed, is when he makes Hashem beloved by other people, and he's doing it again not for the sake of schar, but rather he's doing it lashma, again like Avraham. The Mishnah had mentioned, after it described the whole thing of how they drew the water for the Nisuch HaMayim, and they put it in a, so usually they would draw it, and then they would draw it first thing in the morning, and then they'd bring it to the Beis Mikdash and do the Nisuch HaMayim. The Mishnah describes what happens when one of the days of Sukkot is Shabbos. You can't bring it from the Shiloyach, because you can't tarry in Yerushalayim. The Gemara elsewhere describes, that Yerushalayim is a, because the Gemara says, if not for the fact that Yerushalayim's doors, that Yerushalayim's gates were closed at night, it would be considered a Rishos HaRabim. So since they are, then it's considered a canvas. So therefore, they can't carry the water from the Shiloyach to there on Shabbos. So therefore, the Mishnah describes they'd have to draw it out of Shabbos, they'd put it in a barrel in the Azara, and then the next day they'd fill up the pitcher from the barrel and do Nisuch HaMayim. So now the Mishnah had described what happens nishbacha nisgalsa. The Mishnah had said what happens if the water spilled or if it got uncovered. We find in many places in Shas that there's a problem with liquids that are left uncovered for more than a couple of minutes, or however long it is, where there's a problem that a snake might have drunk from it. You have that all over Shas. You have that concept of big place where the Gemara talks about it is in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. Nowadays, we're generally not nizher in it, the post can say, because in general, we don't live in places where snakes are that prevalent, although it's brought that there were certain Gedolei Yisrael who were careful with it even nowadays. Anyway, the point is, the Mishnah says, so now, if the water was accidentally left uncovered, you can't use it for Nisuch HaMayim, therefore instead you fill up the pitcher from the kier, from the water in the kier, and you use that. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Tanya, Misanenes Yoshua Mishum Gilui. If you put wine into a strainer and you leave the strainer uncovered, then there's a problem of Gilui that a snake might come and drink some of the wine and inject venom into it. Omer of Nechemia Emesai, but Rav Nechemia says not necessarily. When would that be? Bizman Shatach Tonim Gula. Only if the lower container that you're straining the wine into is also uncovered. If the bottom one is covered, so in other words, you have you're straining only like you have, in other words, the strainer covers the entire bottom container, then there's no problem of gilui, there's no problem that a snake might have drunk from it, because he says the venom of the snake is like a sponge. It floats and it stays in one place, and therefore, in other words, when you're straining, so if you have, even the snake will have come and drunk from the wine that's straining from the top container, it'll stay floating over there in the strainer, and it won't go through to the bottom container. The halacha is not like that, though. The Chachamim disagree with that, and the Chacham, the Rambam points out, and when he brings these halachas, that the fact is there are different kinds of snake venom. Some of them float to the top, some of them sink to the bottom, some of them stay in the middle, so you can never really tell. And you have various dinim about that. The point the Gemara is bringing this in is the Gemara asks, so what if the barrel of water for Nisuch HaMayim, so what if it got uncovered, why can't we strain it? At least according to Rav Nechemia. And the answer is, even Rav Nechemia would agree that's not the kavodik to Hashem to use water that had to be strained into for Nisuch HaMayim, and therefore if it was uncovered, then you're back to what the Mishnah says, that you can't use that water for Nisuch HaMayim, and instead you have to fill it up from the kiyah. Okay. Hacholol Perek Chamishi, this is the fifth and last Perek of Sukkah, starts by talking about most of it. The first part of it talks about the Simchas Beis HaSheva, and then afterwards it talks about the korbanos of Sukkot and the arrangements among the mishmaris for that, and then in general it talks about some dinim of how things were parceled out among the mishmaris of the kohanim. So the Mishnah starts off, Hacholol Chamisha V'Shisha. The flutes that were played by the Simchas Beis HaSheva would be sometimes for 5 days during Sukkot, sometimes six. Namely, Zehu Hacholol Shabbos HaSheva, we're talking about the flutes that are played for the Simcha by Simchas Beis Hasheva, Shein Deicha Loyas Hashabbos Loyas Yomtiv. Those playing those flutes doesn't override Shabbos or Yomtiv. So therefore, so you never have 7 full days because you always have the first day Sukkos is Yomtiv. If the first day is any day other than Shabbos, then you also have Shabbos. So you have sometimes 5 days of Simchas Beis Hasheva and sometimes 6. That could mean that they had Simchas Beis Hasheva without musical instruments, as we have nowadays. The Rambam actually passed them, that means they didn't have Simchas Beis Hasheva at all. There are sichas where it ever points out, this is one of those examples of what we call takanose kalkulose, that even though we're messed up by the fact that we don't have the Beis Mikdash, we don't have the real Simchas Beis Hasheva, but in a way that gives us an advantage because we're able to have Simchas Beis Hasheva every night of Sukkos, including the ones where we can't have music and we just sing a cappella. Tosfos, by the way, points out that we have a usual, what would be the reason why you can't play flutes on Shabbos or Yom Tov? The reason is that it's not a malacha d'oraisa. It's a gzeira d'rabbanan not to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov, gzeira shem yisakin klei shir, the chacham made of gzeira, because then the instrument might break and you're going to fix it. Well, we have a usual rule that such gzeira d'rabbanan shvusim don't apply in the Beis Mikdash. So then in that case, why can't they play these flutes by the Simchas Beis Hasheva, which takes place in the Beis Mikdash? So Tosfos says, because the fact is, it's only Mishum Simcha Yaseva. It's only because you want an extra degree of Simcha. It's not part of the Avodah or anything like that. So therefore the Chachamim are going to impose that Zera even in the Beis Mikdash. Further on in the Sugya, Tosfos talks about further that also there were so many instruments played in the Beis Mikdash that normally the Chachamim are going to make, except outside of the musical instruments for the Korbanos, which the Gemara gets into a whole discussion how necessary those are. But with those, the Chachamim are going to impose certain shvusim because it's so very common that things break and they need to be fixed. So you have two factors, in other words. Number one, that this isn't really necessary anyway, because it's only because of Simcha Yisera. And number two, because that's the kind of thing the Chachamim would find it necessary to a certain extent to impose in the Beis Mikdash, because unlike anywhere else, it's so common that something's gonna happen, that something's gonna break. Derech Agav, by the way, this that we don't ride bicycles on Shabbos is based on the same Zeta Derabbanan. When bicycles were invented and popularized 100-odd years ago, Poskim discussed it. There were, by the way, a couple of Poskim, the Ben Ishchai being one of them, who said it's mutter to ride them on Shabbos. But the majority of the accepted opinion ended up being that not, because you have the same problem, Shemi Yisakin. It's very easy for the chain of a bike to fall off or something else to go wrong or whatever, and then you're going to forget that it's Shabbos and repair it. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eina. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eina argue, what is the wording in our Mishnah? We said, Beis HaSheva, is that in fact the name of it? Chad Toni She'eva, Chad Toni Chashuva. One of them learned that the word in the Mishnah is She'eva, the other one learned that it's Chashuva. You have to consider, by the way, the word would be HaSheva. We know the Spanish way of pronouncing a ches deep in the throat, ches, is very much like a hey, so it's very easy for Hasheva to become Hashuva, to become like that, so it's very easy to transform one into the other. So, when you get down to it, neither version is wrong. Manda Toni She'eva le'mishtamish, the one who says She'eva is not wrong, dichtivush avta mayim besosin, the pasuk says you should draw water with happiness, and the whole simcha is for the drawing of the water. The one who calls it chashuva is not wrong either. The Amr of Nachman, mitzvah chashuva hi, it's a very important mitzvah, the nisach hamayim, obam, sheshes and ebredeshes, and in fact it goes all the way back to sheshes and ebredeshes, because as we learned in the previous parak, the shisin were created during sheshes and ebredeshes, as we're going to learn more details about it later on in this parak. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, the famous Yerushalmi, that says it wasn't just that they drew the water, it's they also drew Ruach HaKodesh from there. You have the famous thing that it says that Yonah HaNovi, when did he get his Nevuah to go to Nineveh? When he was by Simchas Beis Hasheva. So Marsha expands on that point, and he says, well, that's exactly why. Why, after all, are we calling it Simchas Beis HaSheva? Why not call it Simchas Nisuch? After all, that's the fundamental thing, is you're doing the Nisuch HaMayim, because that's the point. We're not just celebrating the pouring on the Mizbeach, we're celebrating the Ruach HaKodesh that you can draw from there. And in fact, that's why the pasuk itself associates it with why isn't it unesachtem mayim besasim mayu shavdem. Same idea. The main simcha has to do with the drawing much more so even than the pouring. As far as the mitzvah hashuvah mesheshes mebereshes, Marsha points out that you have like this. We learned in the previous perek that the shisim go all the way down to the tahorim, all the way down to the underground depths, to the subterranean waters underground. Now the significance of that is in connection with Nisuch HaMayim, because Marsha brings from other Gemaras, Hashem says that we should pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot in order that the Gishmei Shana, the rains of that year, should be blessed. And we have a Gemara in Tainus that says that in fact when we do the Nisuch HaMayim, then that causes the Tahoim to bubble up and to start to rise for the water level to rise underground and water the ground from underneath, which that together with the rain that falls from above helps make the ground good and moisturized. So therefore, so the Nisuch HaMayim has a lot to do with the Tahoim, with the depths. And that is why, that's the importance, therefore, that the Shisin had to go all the way down to the Tahoim. And that's why we're calling Chashuvah, that's why we're focusing on the fact that it's from Sheshes Mebereshes, that's how deep it was dug at that time. Okay. So then the Gemara gets into a whole discussion on the question. So we're saying that that the flute playing and the other musical instruments by Simchas Beis HaSheva are not Doicha Shabbos V'yamtiv, but then the Gemara brings a different opinion that says that they do, and the Gemara ends up getting into a whole discussion about the Chlal. When we have the music, when we have the singing and the music that accompanies the Korbanos, which one is the more important, the vocals or the instruments? So the Gemara has a whole sugya going back and forth on the subject. And the Gemara says, "My time of demander, Amar Ikir Shira Bekli." On what basis the one who says that the main thing of the musical accompaniment to the korbanos, that the main thing is the kalim, is the musical instrument? Dichtiv. You have a pasuk in Divrayam. The context of the pasuk is it's talking about Ochaz, we know, was one of the worst kings of Yehuda. He brought in Avodah Zarah and caused all kinds of other problems in the Beis Mikdash. So eventually, when he died, and Chizkiah took over, so now they're starting fresh. They're cleaning out the Beis Mikdash and starting the Avodah fresh. And the pasuk goes into great detail describing how they did the Avodah. And it says, "Vayom Chizkiyahu lahalos ha'olos amizbeach." Chizkiyahu told them to bring the olos onto the mizbeach. Over Ace Hechel Ola, and as they started bringing the Ola, Hechel Shir Hashem Bachatzotzus, they began the music of Hashem, the songs of Hashem, the Kapitlach Tilim, Bachatzotzus, and the trumpets, Valyadei, Clay David Melech Yisrael, together with the musical instruments from David. They had the musical instruments, the harps and whatnot, from other instruments like that from David's times, and they were still using them in Chizkiyahu's times, 300 years later. So now, therefore, so we see from that passage how important the musical instruments are, that the pasuk, in other words, Rashi says, the recalling that the Shir Hashem is, how is it a Shir Hashem? Only when it's Al Yidei Klei David, only when it's using those musical instruments. My time of demand, Amar Ikar Shira B'Peh. What about the opinion that says that the main mitzvah is the vocals? And by the way, the Gemara mentions there are nachminas in it for Allah. First of all, there's the question which ones are Doicha Shabbos and not, but you also have the Gemara has a discussion. For example, we know only the Levim are the ones who sing at the time of the Korbanos. If we say Ikar Shira B'Kli, it would mean that the Levim have to be the ones playing the musical instruments as well. If you say Ikar Shira B'Peh, then you can have other people. You can have Yisraelim, where the Gemara brings a Mishnah that says even Avodim, whatever, that could be playing them, because it's not a main part of the Avodim. So the opinion that says Iker Shira B'Peh, where do they get it from? Dichtiv, you have another pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. This one is talking about when they did by the Chanukah Sabayis, when Shlomo's times, when they finished and inaugurated the first Beis Mikdash, the pasuk says, Vayhi ke'echad l'machatzrim l'mashorim, at all at the same time, you have the ones who are playing the trumpets and the ones who are singing, and here it doesn't mention the other instruments, lashmiya kol echad, where they're all singing in unison. So we see, in other words, and Rashi points out, chatzotzos are not a klish here. They're not one of the instruments that's played as part of the orchestra over there. They're used for the tkiyas that are blown at different times. Later in the parak, the Mishnah deals with various tkiyas that were done throughout the day at different stages of the avodah. So the chatzotzos were for that, not so much, not really for music. So therefore we see that in this pasuk, it doesn't mention the musical instruments. So therefore you see, this Manda Amar says that therefore the musical instruments are not really the essential thing. Well, the Gemara says, the idach nami by Yom Chizkiyahu, news. So what does that opinion do with the pasuk about Chizkiyahu, which does mention the instruments? Hachikamar. So he would say it means Heichal Shir Hashem Bepeh. It means the Shir Hashem was essentially just the vocals. Al Yidei Klei David Melech Yisrael, and it was accompanied by the musical instruments of David Melech Yisrael, Levasume Kola, to make the sound more beautiful, but it's not the essential thing. The Idach Nami Yaksid by Ikechad Lamachatsum Lamashorim. What about the first opinion that says that Iker Shir Bakli, what does he do with the Pasuk about the Chanukah Sabayis that does not mention the instruments? The answer is Hakakama, Meshurim Jumya de Machatsun. Just the opposite. He says that the Meshurim means the Pasuk is implying that they are similar to the Machatsun. Because in other words, the fact is, even if you say, fine, like Rashi says, the Machatsun, the ones playing the trumpets are not, it's not really a musical instrument per se, but it is an, it's not part of the music, but it is an instrument. So therefore, that opinion says, Fakir, Ma Machatsun Bakli, then what it means is that, according to that opinion, what the Pasuk wants to tell you is, just like the Machatzrim, the trumpeters, are using some kind of keli, the same way the shir, the essential shir, also involves keli. And therefore, yes, they have vocals, but that's not the main thing. The main thing, according to that, is in fact the instruments. So you have the different opinions. The Rambam, if I remember correctly, Paskins like the opinion that Iker should have a Kli, and therefore that the Kalim also have to be played by the Levian, but I'm not sure if that's correct. I'm not sure if I remember that correctly, I should say. Of course, I don't mean the Rambam says it correctly, but I don't know if I remember it correctly. Tosfos actually points out, though, the problem is that you do have another continuation of the Pasuk by Shloima. Tosfos points out, does mention, after it mentions the first part of the Pasuk that we mentioned over here, Vayikaecha l'machatzim l'mashurim l'mashmiya kolechad, it continues and mentions the Klei Shir. So in that case, so that very pasuk that he's trying to prove from, that it's only that ikur shira, that ikur shira b'kli, you're saying that the idach nami was saying that was saying imam chatzim b'kli ach meshurim b'kli, and right there you actually have Caleb mentioned. However, Tosfos says no, but the fact is you see it divided into two parts. First, you have, it mentions the vocals together with the machatzin, lashmiya kol echad, to sing together in unison, to praise Hashem, only afterwards, and lahodis lahal lahodis Hashem. Then by the clay shear, separately, it mentions of lahal Hashem, then that would mean, according to the first opinion, that the essential thing is the vocals, and again, like you said, the instruments are only there, the basume kola, to make it sound nice. And so he would say that's why the pasuk divides them into two parts. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Geula, Chof Shvat. We have to have, the Rebbe talks about, speaking of Chizkiyah that we just talked about, we have to have the bitochen that we have in Mashiach coming has to be like the kind of bitochen that Chizkiyah, where he had total bitochen in Hashem. In fact, the pasuk says on him, "Bashem alakeizio botach." The pasuk says a rare compliment that it says about a person. He trusted in Hashem, and that would mean to the point that Rebbe points out in the Sicha. We know there's a medrash that says that there were four different Malchei Yisrael and four different Malchei Yehuda who each had a different a different approach towards how Hashem should defeat the enemies. David asks that Hashem should give him the strength to pursue them and defeat them. Asa asks that he should have the strength to pursue them and Hashem will defeat them, and so on and so forth. And Chizkiyahu says, I don't have the koyach to kill them or to chase after them or even to say Shira. Let me sleep on my bed and you, Hashem, do everything. And that's what happened, because that night the Malach came and destroyed Sancheirav's army. So that means, in other words, look at that. You have Sancheirav is besieging Yerushalayim with his entire gigantic army, and he even offered peace terms, as it says in the Pesukim over there. Nevertheless, Chizkiyahu had total betachid and went to sleep calmly without worrying, and he had the sometimes you have a person is worried, he can't sleep. Here we don't find that Chizkiyahu's sleep was even disturbed. And sure enough, Hashem did the total mochama for him and killed the entire Machne Ashur. So the point is, in other words, the same kind of thing has to be, as far as when we talk about that we trust in Bias HaMashiach, that we have a bitachon, it has to be a complete bitachon without the slightest shadow of doubt, and in a way that even when you look at it in a seichelic way, and in a natural way, there doesn't seem to be any possible way that it can be, but there wasn't any tevedic way in which there could be, that they're going to be saved from Sancheirav either, and they were, and that itself, that bitachon itself, helps bring Mashiach faster, the Karev Mamash. Amen. Continuing on halachas of Kriyas HaTorah, between aliyas, you have to close the Sefer Torah. You don't have to cover it unless you have a long break between one aliyah and the next. So when you're saying Kaddish before Maftir, then you have to. Also, any time, for example, when they're doing the Shabbatachs or other such things, then you have to cover the Sefer Torah. Another deal.
One aliyah is enough. You don't really have to.
So in principle, because if you have a significant delay, but if you have, let's say they're calling somebody who happens to be standing by the bim anyway, and let's say they're not doing a mishaberach for the previous person for whatever reason, say for example on Yud Shvat, where we just had on Yud Shvat and Simchas Torah and whatever, when we just do mishaberach as always, so we've worked the bonim b'nei ma'amen, then technically you don't have to cover the Sefer Torah during that time. Another deal. If by mistake they only called up six aliyahs for the parasha, then you don't say Kaddish. Then you right away call up the Maftir, and he counts as the seventh aliyah. And afterwards, when will you say the Chatzi Kaddish? After the Haftorah and after the Brachas of the Haftorah. Same thing on Yom Tov. If you called up only four aliyahs for the main Kriya, then the same thing. The Maftir is the fifth one. And then you say the Kaddish only afterwards. B'chlal, the general rule is the Kaddish is meant to break between the strict number of aliyahs that you're supposed to have and the Maftir, who's not actually one of the seven or five or whatever. That's why we have a Kaddish, which is why, for example, when we lay on fast days and when we lay on Hanukkah, for example, whatever, we don't say Kaddish between aliyahs, because you have to have three people or four people respectively over there, and there's no room for a Kaddish within the three or four people that you have to have on that day.